On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Hello? Hello? All right, I guess it's just me. Tall Can Sports, Matt Robinson with you. No sign of Rob. No sign of Nate. So I guess we're in this on our own. We've been working our way through the divisions. Last show, we hit the Pacific Division. And so tonight, we'll run through the Central as we work our way east. And I guess it's going to be just me. Although I did want to work as hard as I could to try and find someone else to co-host this thing with me. And Leaf fans will recognize this voice. Hopefully, you can chip in now and then with a little bit of something to contribute. Welcome my co-host, Joe Bowen. All right, settle down, Joe. Settle down.
What an unbelievable turn of events.
I know. I can't believe they're not here either. For people who don't know, Joe Bowen has put out his own mobile app, and it's got, you know, his voice making some calls and this and that. So maybe Joe will help me get through this one. It's kind of a cheesy application. I've got it here on my iPhone, but I mean, it's something. And, you know, you take it to the games, I guess, you have a couple drinks, it really probably in the end takes up a lot of room on your phone for no real reason. But as a diehard Leaf fan, I felt it was important for me to have. So yeah, let's probably get into this. As I mentioned, Rob's not going to be able to be here tonight. I tried to get a hold of him and see, you know, what was up. I'm not sure, Joe. I'm not sure. Settle down. It's going to be okay. We'll get through this on our own. But he wasn't able to make it. He had some things come up. So we turned our attention to Nate and asked him if he could make it. And as you can see, he's not here either.
What's he doing?
Joe, I don't know. I didn't ask him. We didn't get into it. So, you know what? We'll carry on. Bad comedy aside, hopefully. Before we get into the Central Division, earlier this week, on Twitter, well, in the building, the Barclays Center unveiled their new goal horn for the New York Islanders. And, you know, the team scored. I don't know what people in the building thought, but they posted the goal and then the sound of this new goal horn on Twitter to see, you know, to let people. I'm sure they expected to get a warm reaction. They didn't. Most people slammed it terribly. Said it was irritating and cheesy and a bunch of other things. We've got it here for you. I'm not screwing around. There's no jokes other than the actual horn itself. Here is the sound from the new goal horn at the New York Islanders' new home at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you can see, pretty irritating. It's just a high-pitched, I don't know, it's just annoying as hell. You know what it actually reminds me of? I saw on TV the other day, the Dumb and Dumber, right? And it holds up really well as a classic movie. No, it doesn't. It's still a terrible movie, but it's pretty funny. But it always reminds me of, hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Right? And that's kind of, I think, what most people were getting at it. Whatever. And actually, it reminded me of something else, too. And Simpsons fans will maybe get a kick out of this. Homer Simpson's Everything Is Okay horn.
Now, here's my Everything's Okay alarm. This will sound every 3 seconds unless something isn't okay.
Turn it off, Homer.
It can't be turned off. But it does break easily.
Maybe we'll try and leave YouTube out of the rest of the show. You know what? It's just, it's one of those things. It's a terrible horn. People had all kinds of their own A material. It's probably better than my A material on it. But it's, I don't know. I guess they're trying to start new traditions as they've moved the team out of the Nassau County Coliseum, which was just a hole. There was a lot of Islanders fans online that just said, you know, bring the damn horn we had, you know, some kind of continuity, right? Some kind of, it's funny, people get really attached to these things that teams don't really think too much about when they stop doing it. But fans associate, you know, you know, when you go to a game in Ottawa and the opponent gets a penalty, you're going to hear those, you know, that church bell, whatever, dun, 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 like that sort of, and fans get it for a while, or for the longest time at Toronto Maple Leafs games, after a victory, they would play Heave Away, an old Celtic song, I forget who it's by, The Fables, I think is the name of the band who plays it, and it's nothing big, but you just get accustomed as a fan to hearing these things, and they took it away and started playing these bullshit, you know, pop punk songs that every arena has now and whatever. And I think they tried to bring it back after they play that terrible song. They still maybe now play Heave Away, but I know fans were up in arms for a while and I was amongst them, right? Like they have little things like this all over pro sports in your building. You get accustomed to hearing them. So that notwithstanding, tradition notwithstanding, the horn is terrible. So hopefully the Islanders, listen to their fans and are able to maybe go back to the drawing board on that one. Let's get into the Central Division. This likely doesn't go as in-depth as last week's or earlier this week's show on the Pacific, just because it's a different animal when you do it by yourself. If Rob was here, no doubt he would be slamming me for that particular wording. When you run through the teams by yourself, you know, we've got pages of notes here and this and that, but these things inescapably are better as a debate, right? And I think this, you think that, we kick it around a little bit and, you know, we kind of go back and forth and we move on to the next team. Rob says something stupid, but he says it really loud, so he thinks he wins and we all just carry on, right? So the Central Division, home of the Stanley Cup champion, Chicago Blackhawks, this division is stacked. When we first started talking about the Pacific in the last show, one of the first things I said is, this division blows, right? When you start to look at some of the, you cannot say that about the Central. It's just loaded. Four teams last year finished the regular season with more than 100 points. All seven teams had winning records. Like, how does that happen? It's just a monster of a division. It saw Winnipeg start to come on a little bit, right? It saw, you know, Nashville rebound and start to score some goals. Chicago and St. Louis are always powerhouses. Dallas has got some guys coming, and it was a, man, it was just an ass kicker of a division. And they just sat there and beat the shit out of each other all year. And when you saw your team was going on the road, you know, for four or five games through the Central, you just kind of buckled up and hoped to come out with a win somewhere. And usually you didn't. So we'll start in Chicago. just because that's where the alphabet dictates we start, but also because there's been a lot of note happen in Chicago, right, since they won the Stanley Cup just a couple of months ago. They had to send some guys out, including Brandon Saad, right? Johnny Oduya, Patrick Sharp, both ended up in Dallas. Sharp is one of those ones that you wonder, right, how bad of a loss he's going to be. It's a big cap hit, and that's why they had to send him on. But also starting to have some dwindling offensive numbers. They're starting to go down a little. He's not getting any younger. He's played some hard minutes. He's played a lot of hockey, as everyone in Chicago has. You know, three cups in, you know, Quenneville's been there 7 years and he's got three Stanley Cups. That's the kind of shit that gets you into the Hall of Fame, right? I don't think at this point there's any doubt that he's bound for the Hall of Fame whenever he decides that he's done. Brandon Saad's an interesting one. Ended up in Columbus. They gave him far too much money. Columbus did. And I wonder if that's something that wouldn't have happened in Chicago. After the parade, right after everything was going on, Brandon Saad was standing there and openly saying, "I'll take a discount to stay here." And it seemed like right after that he was gone to Columbus. That's the reality, right? This has happened before. After 2010, they sent out, had to trade Ladd and Byfuglien, Versteeg, who ended up in Toronto. That was obviously a huge success. After 2013, they had more guys to move, including David Boland, who ended up in Toronto, and that was a huge success. I was pretty relieved to see Toronto not grab members of this year's Chicago Stanley Cup winning team. It rarely seems to work out for us. Or anybody, right? When you're that good of a team, everybody looks good. And that's not to say those guys didn't contribute. Chris Versteeg had a good 2010. David Boland, in that role, that kind of 2-3, we don't need to go down this road with, you know, talking about this. But when you fit into a package like that and just do your job, everybody looks better. You have to go out and do more than your job. You don't get to look as good. And that's just kind of how it goes. So Chris Versteeg was another guy who actually had returned to Chicago for last year's run. He's gone again, this time, I believe, to Carolina. So a lot of new faces. And when you, A, are finishing as high as Chicago has finished for the last several years, you don't get top-end draft picks. And when you are constantly in contention, you're trading your draft picks to get pieces. Antoine Vermette being a good example of that. He had 38 points when Chicago traded for him, but he was a depth center, great on faceoffs, good two-way player, and they decided they wanted to have him for that run. And at first, it didn't look like it was going to work so well, right? He was healthy, scratched a couple times, couldn't get in the lineup, and then, you know, by the time the Stanley Cup's over, he's had a couple of game-winning goals, and he was a big part of it. Returns to Arizona for some reason. Anyway, we talked about him in the last show, his return to Arizona. So that's not even to talk about the Patrick Kane stuff. We did that on a different show. I don't think we're going to do it again here today just because it's kind of been, and I want to be really careful because I don't want to offend anybody, which is rare on this show to try and avoid doing that, but it's been beaten to death. The NHL is not listening. The Blackhawks are not listening. He's in camp while he faces these charges. Sorry, there are no charges yet. While he faces these accusations, I guess awaiting charges. Last week, there were huge developments in the legal proceedings there that we just don't have time to get into here. It's a mess. It's just a mess. So when you start to, you know, look at Chicago, the only thing to me that stops them from being an absolute powerhouse again this year is that being a distraction, or B, Patrick Kane gets hit with some charges here in the next couple of weeks, or, you know, I guess even a couple of months, and ends up out of the lineup. Otherwise, they still have Taves, they still have Kane, they've got Teravainen coming, who, you know, Toivu time, whatever the fuck people have been saying about him. He's supposed to be a real solid prospect, up and coming for them, right? They still have these Oduya, Keith, and Seabrook on the back end, Crawford, you know, whatever you think of him in goal, they're still pretty solid, right? And a really good move that they went and made, and it's not getting talked about a whole lot, is Artem Anisimov is going to be the number two center there. He's a really good two-way player when he's healthy. Doesn't cost a ton of money. He's going to put up some points. So, to me, they still look like they should have a damn solid, a real solid season. And possibly still be the class of this division. So let's move on to talk about the Colorado Avalanche. It's an interesting team in that 2 years ago made the playoffs, had a real nice season. A lot of the fancy stat people said it wouldn't last. It turned out they were right. They came crumbling back to earth last year. Part of that due to injury. Part of that just due to, you know, guys regressing a little bit. But they're an interesting team. They made a couple of decent moves, at least interesting moves, over the summer. They're the defending basement dwellers of this division. Finished seventh in the division last year. But, you know, a really interesting team. I thought at the draft, right around the draft, they got Carl Soderberg, which they gave him almost $5 million for 5 years. Raise your hand if you barely knew who Carl Soderberg was last season. He's in Boston. I guess he's going to be their number two center. He's going to come in and replace Ryan O'Reilly, who they sent off to Buffalo. They got a real nice return on that. Mikhail Gregorenko and Nikita Zadorov. I don't know when you're going to see Gregorenko. There's some skill there. There's some upside there. We'll see what he turns out to be. Zadorov is going to be a very, very good defenseman. Possibly this season, right? He's ready to step in. Last year was an absolute train wreck in Buffalo. They wanted to try and keep, you know, these guys from getting buried too much. And they wanted to speed up the process in Buffalo. When they got Jack Eichel, they were ready to bring in Ryan O'Reilly, someone to kind of take those minutes away from Eichel and protect him a little bit. So, interesting. But you can't give Carl Soderberg 5 years at almost 30 years old. 5 years at almost $5 million. I think it's 4.7 per. It's terrible, right? That's a deal that's not going to work out for anybody. Well, it's going to work out great for Carl Soderberg, but he's going to be one of those guys who goes down looking like, you know, Tyler Bozak, right? And he's probably a little better player than that, but he's not a $4.7 million player, certainly not for 5 years. So that's not going to work out really well. But I think everyone expects Nathan MacKinnon, you know, who had a bit of a sophomore slump last year, to rebound. That guy's probably 35 goals this year for my money, right? Real solid young player. He should play on a line with Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog, and that's a scary line. And it'll be good at both ends of the ice. Like, Landeskog goes so underrated, right? He's a nice Swedish player, played in Kitchener, so you know he learned how to play the game the right way. Came over to play junior here, and that Kitchener system's very well renowned. Great in his own end, great along the wall. He can finish, right? Even though he's Swedish. You know what? He's a good piece, right? And I think that line, Matt Duchene can absolutely fly, as can MacKinnon. And if he can pot 35 goals, you know, Colorado's going to be dangerous again this year. I don't think they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs out of this scary, scary division again. But I think they're probably going to end up out of the basement. And we'll get to my picks on who's going to end up there, Winnipeg. But it's one of those things where, you know, they on free agency day, like 2 minutes after free agency opened, they signed a veteran defenseman, Francois Beauchemin. And I think a few minutes ago I said, when talking about Colorado, that they still had, talking about Chicago, I keep doing that, that they still had Johnny Oduya. That's not the case. Oduya moved on to Dallas. Nicholas Hjalmarsson, of course, is still a great shutdown player in Chicago. But they brought in Beauchemin to help solidify things. They have Eric Johnson there, who I don't think ever lived up to his potential that, you know, people were kind of expecting of him when he was drafted. But he's turned into a very good NHL defense and a top pairing NHL defenseman for my money. So, I mean, I think you can expect Colorado to be better this year. Varlamov's going to have a huge season in goal for them to make the playoffs again. But I honestly think that Colorado will be better than last year just on the strength of those young players kind of getting it going again, right? You know, we'll see, because they're not deep, but that they're loaded up front with that top line that probably run with anybody in the league for my money. I mean, as we move through this alphabetically, you start to get into to Dallas, right? Didn't make it last year, but their top line, a lot like Colorado's, might be enough to keep them afloat this year. When you look at Tyler Seguin, between Jamie Benn and anybody else, literally, you might be able to go out there and pot 10 with those two guys. It's scary. Seguin obviously had that rough ride in Boston. Didn't really work out there. And it seemed like as soon as he got to Dallas, he just flipped a switch, became a different player. I believe Jamie Benn finished fourth last year in points in scoring. He's just a monster to play against. Seguin was no lower than 10th. I think he might have been 9th. When you put those two guys together and then you add a Patrick Sharp who may play the right side for those guys, it's hard to tell. I think you could also look at, you know, Spezza or Hemsky. You know, I assume, you know, Spez is going to play second line center. But you can move, you start to look at that power play, right? With Ben and Seguin down low, you know, maybe Spezza working one of the points or Hemsky. There's a lot of firepower. Patrick Sharp actually used to play the point for Chicago. They've got some options there. They brought in Johnny Oduya, who we've already mentioned far too many times in this show, probably more times than we've ever mentioned Johnny Oduya on this show in the 21 episodes that preceded this one. So he and Sharp bring some Stanley Cup experience with, and maybe that's what this young team needs, right? Cody Eakin, for me, is a guy that we talked about a couple of weeks ago when trying to project that under 23 team. I think Cody Eakin is a guy who has a shot at that. Good two-way guy. He can score a bit, can play center, can play the wing. Whatever you need, he's kind of a guy that can do it. They're not going to be great on defense. Like, they're just not. It's a little thin, but they did bring up Antti Niemi from San Jose to back up, I guess, or to battle with Kari Lehtinen. And to me, that was a really strange move. Niemi, I don't know, he's never shown himself, as I'm going to say this, and someone's going to jump all over me, he's never shown himself to be a top-flight NHL starting goalie. Now, yes, he's won a Stanley Cup as a starting goalie. So, but he won it in that kind of Chris Osgood way. And I'm sure Chris Osgood hates that shit. But where Detroit won a Stanley Cup in spite of Chris Osgood, not because of Chris Osgood, right? It's not one of these teams where your goaltender was on fire and carried you probably further than you deserved to go. You just had to be good. You just had to be, you couldn't lose it for them. And that's kind of what Niemi did for Chicago. And you never take that away from him, right? He got it done. But he went to San Jose where they needed a little more from him than to just be okay. And he wasn't able to give them that. Now, to be fair, San Jose had tried to get it done with other guys as well and couldn't. And it's kind of crumbled there over the years. And we talked about that in the Pacific Division preview, Tall Can Sports, episode 21, if you'd like to go back and check it out. It's the one that comes before this one. So I guess he's going to battle with Lehtinen, or I guess he's going to back up Lehtinen. It's hard to say, because I don't think Lehtinen has shown himself to be a goalie that takes you to the promised land either. Now, Henrik Lundqvist hasn't shown himself to be a goalie that takes you to the promised land. If that's, you know, that's a fair thing to say if I'm out here. Sometimes great players play with bad teammates, and until you win, you're one of those guys that never won. So maybe Lehtinen has been good enough, but I don't think he's injured so often and whatever. So I don't really understand that move. It wasn't an upgrade. It wasn't, It wasn't a young guy to kind of push him. I don't really know what this move was, other than, you know, here's another okay goalie, and we'll have two okay goalies, and hopefully one of them will be more than okay. But that's kind of, you know, Dallas is another one of those teams that pushed late and hung around. And again, 2 years ago, kind of like Colorado, we're in. But, you know, last year weren't able to get it done despite some of that star power up front. But they've got some pieces coming. They're an interesting-looking young team, right? So we'll see how that plays out. As we carry on, though, we're into Minnesota, the state of hockey, as they like to call themselves. They didn't really do much over the summer. You know, maybe they felt like they didn't need to. They locked up Devan Dubnyk for a long time. I think they gave him like 5 years, which is laughable to me. Not the most laughable deal in this division this summer. Maybe I should have mentioned Brent Seabrook back when we were talking about Chicago. I think they gave him like 6 years. He's going to be 38 with the type of game he plays. That's a bad deal. There's another one here a little bit further on down that we'll get to. This is a bad contract. You can't give Devan Dubnyk 5 years based on 3 months' work. He went something like 25-9-1, 29-5-1, something like that down the stretch. Something heroic to pull them into the playoffs and get them to the second round. And I won't take anything away from him. He was terrific. Right? He was great. But before that, he was Devan Dubnyk of the Hamilton Bulldogs. Before that, he was Devan Dubnyk, I'm not good enough to play in Arizona. And before that, he was Devan Dubnyk, I'm not good enough to play in Edmonton. Whew. Man. Edmonton has Ben Scrivens and Victor Fast. Well, now they have Cam Talbot. But at the time, so now to be fair, Edmonton was, maybe still is, terrible, especially defensively. So he wasn't getting any support. My point is, it's way too early to give this to Dubnyk. Maybe if you'd offered him one, he'd have said, fuck you, I'll take my chances on the market because I just had a run like no one ever has to get put you guys in. So maybe there was that threat. Maybe there was a little loyalty from Minnesota for what he did for them, considering they had like three goalies get injured last year before they got to him. I would have probably given him 2 years at a reasonable salary. One to say, prove it to us. And one as a thank you, as a loyalty thing, as a whatever. And to just keep him here, keep him there, whatever. 5 years. Man, are you kidding me? So, terrible. What is it that you think Minnesota can do? Because to me, when I look at their roster, Zach Parise, and then a lot of second-lined guys. Ryan Suter, and then a lot of second-tier defensemen. And Devan Dubnyk in goal. Right? So they don't look like, I keep reading that this is a team on the rise, right? The Bleacher Report had them as a team coming up this year in the Central Division, as did NHL.com, although it's always funny to read their reports. They don't want to slam anyone, so they have everyone on the rise. Someone has to finish last, but not at NHL.com. They think everyone's got a shot at first place. I don't know what to think of Minnesota, and maybe I'm the one out to lunch. Maybe I'm the one that doesn't understand what it is they're going to be, but I just don't, I don't see it. I don't see them as a team on the rise. They had a good season last year, got in and had to play St. Louis in the first round, which usually means you're going to win, but you're going to have the shit kicked out of you for 5, 6, 7 games first. And that's exactly what happened. St. Louis did their perennial choke job, and we'll get to them. But they hit Minnesota hard. They grinded them out. They beat them up. And by the time they got to Chicago, the Blackhawks went, thank you. 4-game sweep, and out they went. And then they had a nice rest before having to play the Ducks in the Western Conference Final. So to me, this is a team, when I look at the division anyway, doesn't really stack up. If they were in the Pacific, they might be as high as second place. Not here. Mikko Koivu is a good center, but he's not a number one center for me, and he's not getting any younger. He's not getting any less injury prone. They got some guys. Charlie Coyle, I really like Charlie Coyle. I had him again on that under 23 team. So, I mean, maybe he explodes and whatever, but, you know, they got Zucker. They got some guys that are going to be okay. Jonas Brodin. But you start to run that up against what Chicago's bringing. You start to run that up against what St. Louis is bringing. I don't see them. Even Dallas. Is this a better team than Dallas? I don't think so, right? They don't have... Let's call Jamie Benn and Zach Parise a soft. To me, it's not. I'll take Jamie Benn all day. But let's just say, who does Minnesota have to match up with Tyler Seguin? And then after that, against Sharp, against Spezza, against Hemsky, like, those guys are no longer number one top line NHL guys, but they're better than what Minnesota's bringing. So to me, that's a team that Dallas jumps, right? They're getting past, for me, Minnesota this year. Dubnyk's going to take a step back. He's not going to be that kind of hero again. He's just never shown that kind of consistency, and that's okay, because I don't think you can expect any goalie to have a prolonged, you know, run like he did. Certainly not for 60 games or whatever you're going to ask him to play out of 82. I don't even know who they're going to have back him up at this point. They had so many guys get hurt and leave and move on and whatever. Maybe they're not going to back anyone up. They're just going to run him out there 82 times. Might not be a bad idea. So, I mean, that's Minnesota. Minnesota fans won't be happy with that assessment. And frankly, everyone that I'm reading seems to disagree. So maybe there's something I'm missing. At TalkAndSports on Twitter, if you want to tell me why I'm out to lunch, I don't see it for the Wild. They're going to take a step back this year. That takes us into Nashville. Another interesting team. And it's funny, when you look at this division last year and, you know, how it shaped up kind of as a murderer's row and everybody with a winning record and four teams at over 100 points, and you start to look at some of these rosters, it's not, you know, beyond Chicago especially, it's not loaded with star power. Right, in Nashville here that we're about to talk about is a good example of that. And that's kind of always been the way Nashville's been. Anytime they've had any kind of success, it's been with, I don't want to say lesser known, you know, they're well-known guys, but there's no superstar, right? Paul Kariya went there, didn't really work out. I mean, he was okay. Peter Forsberg spent a little bit of time there. It's funny when everybody talks about small market teams in the NHL and what teams are floundering and will move and the Southern expansion and this and that. Nashville's done a real nice job of late. And it took a while. It took a couple of different ownership groups. It took a while for it to set in, right? But when you look at those games, those crowds are jumping. It's a little different than, you know, Canadian hockey snobs or even Northern US, you know, would like to... You're singing along with a Tim McGraw tune as the goal horn goes, and you got these disgusting mustard jerseys and this and that. But people are having a blast, right? And it's one of those things. Nashville's on a list of cities I'd like to visit. Not exactly a huge country music guy. But you don't have to be. It's a music place, right? And they've embraced hockey, and I wouldn't mind going, and I don't necessarily want to go see the Leafs in Nashville. I want to go see the Preds take on the Habs, right? Somebody where I'm going to be cheering with Nashville. It just seems like a fun place to see a hockey game. And so they're stable. It's not fair to lump them in with Florida, right? Or certainly Phoenix or these sorts of teams. They've carved themselves out a little. Now, maybe it's because they're good, and if they were, you know, went into a prolonged, decade-long slump of being garbage, but it's hard for anybody to... There were empty seats in Toronto last year, because it's been a prolonged, decade-long time where they were garbage, right? So, you can't keep asking fans... This team last year had a good run, and put a scare into Chicago in the first round, to the point where they yanked out Corey Crawford, their starting goalie, in favor of Scott Darling. And, you know, he had to salvage the season for them because they were in trouble. They were reeling a little bit. It's typically the case in Nashville because they just don't have the budget. No real big off-season moves, right? But to me, one that was kind of interesting was Cody Hodson. He's bounced around a little bit. He was one of those guys in the draft a few years back, maybe 09, something like that, that was supposed to be a top-line NHL player. Maybe he was not going to be... I think he was in the Tavares draft. I could be wrong. Maybe it was the Duchesne draft. But a top guy, right? Never Crosby, never Tavares, never what 120 points, which no one gets now. But a good player. And it didn't work in Vancouver. It didn't work in Buffalo. He's just not reached it. He's going now to Nashville, where there's, to me, a really good coach, Peter Laviolette. He kind of wears his welcome out pretty quick because of the type of coach he is. You can see him ride players real hard for a couple of years, have some success, and then he's got to move on because they're kind of done listening to him. He might be really good for Cody Hodson. I don't think you ever get Cody Hodson to be an 80-point guy, but he might get him to 60, right? He might get him to be that player he was supposed to be. And you don't necessarily need him to be an 80 to 100-point guy if Philip Forsberg keeps taking the steps that he's hit. Last year, in our fantasy draft, we're doing another one this year. Be a Tall Can Audio hockey draft. Send us a message on Twitter if you're interested in joining up. Drafts on Sunday. One of my buddies and a guy who listens to this show, Maddie, he took Philip Forsberg. Well, I probably wouldn't have taken him at all going into last season. I don't remember what round, but it was earlier than I would have expected. And it's not a fancy draft. You don't have to have a guy under 20. You don't have to have a rookie. You don't have something like that. It's just very... And I kind of said, what are you doing? And he went on to have a fantastic season. Not fantastic enough for Maddie to do anything in our, you know, in our pool, in our league, but a great season. And so, you know, could Cody Hodson become a complimentary piece, a guy who works on your second power play, right? I think Nashville's got some good young, and I haven't mentioned their strength yet. Look at that defense and look at that goaltending, and it'll scare the bejesus out of you. You've got to come in on Roman Josi and Shea Weber as your number one pairing. Scary. They lost Ryan Suter and didn't miss a beat. So Weber's going to play with Josi. Seth Jones continues to get better and better and better. And I didn't really understand the hype for him, you know, when he was coming into the league and that, you know, he might overtake McKinnon or anything. I never saw that. But as he continues to develop and, you know, you watch him play at the World Championships and whatever, he's getting to be one of those, and don't eat me alive here, don't say I'm trying to compare him and say that he's as good as this guy, but a Nick Lidstrom type, positioning, strong, right? Stick, strong. He's not going to beat the hell out of you along the boards, you know, but he's going to be everywhere he's supposed to be. And imagine if Ryan Ellis starts to take the next step. He's a little small, tremendous offensive defenseman. If he could start to play top 4 minutes at a really effective level, this team starts to get really scary. And then Pekka Rinne in goal, who on his own can shut out the world. So I think this is a team that it's really hard as you look at some of the other, I've kind of said everybody's going to take a step back. I'm the opposite of NHL.com, where everyone's going to be great. I've got everyone in this division taking a step back just because I find it impossible that this division could be as good as it was last year. But this is a team that maybe takes a step back offensively, which they can't really afford to do. But as Seth Jones gets better, maybe you've made up for that defensively, right? Same with Ryan Ellis, same with some other guys that they have in their system. They're always just loaded with defensive prospects in Nashville that they can either use to play for them, or that they can turn into a deal to go get whatever they need at the deadline. So they're an interesting team. I think they're going to be better this year than people expect. We talked about, you know, Calgary on the last episode of this show. Are they a team that kind of overachieved last year, whatever? I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case for this Nashville team, despite a lack of star power up front. I think Philip Forsberg gets better and better and better. I just, you know, Cody Hodson can chip in a little bit. I think this team's going to be pretty good. And it might actually be, I never think, right, when you're watching Center Ice, I never think to turn on the Nashville game. That's just kind of out of sight, out of mind until you get to the playoffs. And you're like, holy crap, these guys are pretty good. So they might be fun to watch this year. I might have to tune into a couple of Nashville games. So that sends us into St. Louis. St. Louis! I don't know why I did that. Have won. I don't know why I did that. Two straight 50-win seasons. Won the division in 14-15. You know, not a lot of playoff success. 2 years ago, they went out and got Ryan Miller to try and put them over the top. I thought that was a good idea. I wasn't overly... I think they gave up Chris Stewart was the main piece of the deal going the other way, so not a lot. Hitchcock gets a one-year deal. I was a little surprised because I think as you look at a guy like Ken Hitchcock, he also a little like, and probably a little more so than Peter Laviolette, has a shelf life. He's hard on his players. Now, there's a lot of talk that goes around that says he's adapted to younger guys and he's open to new things. And you know, okay, maybe that's the case, but you combine how hard he is on his players with the fact that this team has grossly underperformed in the playoffs, I kind of thought last year was it. They gave him a one-year extension, so I guess you should look for him to be absolutely on the hot seat early on this season. If they don't get off to the type of start they want, you'll probably see him gone. But I don't really know. The regular season's never been their problem. Like I said, division wins, 50-win seasons. It's the playoffs. They don't seem to get it done. But look at these names that they're going to throw out at you. Between Laterra, Tarasenko, Stastny, right, Shattenkirk, Jabo, Alex Petrangelo, Backes, right? Like, unbelievable. Stastny, Steen. Jaden Schwartz, to me, a star that nobody talks about, except probably in St. Louis. I don't catch a lot of the St. Louis broadcast. That fucking bell drives me crazy after they score. I got a buddy of mine who's a St. Louis fan, and we roomed together for a year or two after college, and could just hear that bell every time they fucking scored whenever he'd have the game on. It was terrible. It's enough to drive. I think that's probably the idea, is that it drives you crazy after they score. Anyway, TJ Oshie sent out. He'd been a staple there for a long time, but maybe kind of a symbol of their failures. And that's, I wouldn't put the failures on him, but he's been there for all of them. Kind of like David Backes. I thought maybe you'd see both of them go. But if you were only going to get rid of one, I'd get rid of the winger and keep that big angry center, right? Like, that guy's a motherfucker to play against. Scary. I went to a game 2 years ago with the Blues in Toronto. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say Toronto is any kind of measuring stick, but they just imposed their will. Like, it wasn't even close. Men against boys, they were throwing guys around, and Backes was just running people over behind the net. Scary to watch, right? So this is a team that I think last year Tarasenko had 38. He's on the rise. He's still young. I'd look to him to get, well, easily over 40, probably pressing up against 45. Jaden Schwartz, I think, had 35 last year. He, to me, is a guy that could also explode. And it won't surprise me if he gets 40 goals. And he's a smart player. He's fun to watch go up and down the wing. He's good in his own end. He's good positionally. Underrated player, and I think he's going to have a big seat. But the problem is the same now as it's always been. They don't have a number one center. I mean, are you going to put Laterra in that spot? Probably not. It'll be David Backes and Paul Stastny again, and it's just not going to work. It'll work to get them into the playoffs. It'll work to scare some people and maybe win a round or two. I don't know that they've done anything this season that makes them substantially better than last season. Shattenkirk's another year better. Petrangelo's another year better. But it's not like those guys were rookies last year, right? Both those guys played for their respective Olympic teams in 2014 in Sochi. So I'm not sure. And now you've got Jake Allen and Brian Elliott in goal. So there's nothing overly scary there. I'm sure this year they're hoping to turn it over full-time to Jake Allen. I think you've seen enough of Brian Elliott. You know what he is. He's capable, but he's not going to get it done for you. Maybe you hope that another year under Jake Allen's belt is what, you know, makes him an elite number one NHL goaltender and puts... St. Louis is just... It's getting to the point... And again, you can disagree with me, and again, I'll pimp that Tall Can Sports Twitter account if you'd like to talk about it. Is it getting to the point where St. Louis is San Jose? Every year picked to do serious damage, but just never getting over the hump, right? So we'll see. But it's a good team. To me, still a playoff team, and... to me, still, despite their history, a team I don't want to see in the first round. A, because they're big and scary and physical, and they will beat you up before you get to move on if you beat them. Minnesota will tell you all about that. And because, B, it's possible that this is the year they break out. This is when they finally get it done. And so, do you want to be that team when they finally get it going, right? So, I don't really want to see St. Louis... if I'm another team in this division in a playoff series. But are they substantially better than last year? No, I don't think you can say that. Last on the list for this division. We've made it to the end. Did any of you stick with me? I'm not completely sold. I stuck with me this long. Winnipeg. I can't tell you why this is because I don't know myself. I don't like Winnipeg. Their team, the city, I've only visited the city twice, neither time did it deliver particularly good news, so, you know, but the team, for some reason, you know what it was? I got tired of the narrative that all of Canada was supposed to rally that we got this team back from Atlanta. I couldn't have fucking cared less, honest to God. It's a nice story. Would I rather see a city that cares about hockey have their hockey team? Yeah. Does it really impact me as an Oiler fan or a Leaf fan? Or why? Get out of my face. Stop. It's like living in Ontario and being told over and over and over by TV news and sports talk radio that Buffalo's our team, right? And forget the fact that Rogers tried to half buy them and bring them. I don't fucking care about the Buffalo Bills, and I don't care about the Winnipeg Jets. I don't hate the Winnipeg Jets, but I resent being told that I'm supposed to like them more, or the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast that say everybody's second favorite team. Ah, fuck off. They're not my second favorite team just because now, just out of spite, because you know you told me they should be. I couldn't possibly care less. So let's start with that bias up front, I guess. When you look at this team, it's another one where there are certain publications saying this is a team on the rise, and not just NHL.com where everyone's on the rise. I don't see it, and I don't see it for one reason. There's reasons, but the biggest reason is you still have Andre Pavlik and Michael Hutchinson, I think, as your goaltending tandem. Period, game over, done in that division, you're fucked. Well, they made the playoffs. Yeah, how'd they do? Look, that's not good enough. And you start to look at the team, the rest of the team, it's not bad. It doesn't look a lot different than Atlanta's roster. And that's, you want to get under a Winnipeg Jets fan, that's the quickest way to do it. And they'll tell you, they'll come back at you online and tell you it doesn't bug you and you're immature. You can fuck up a Winnipeg Jet by calling them the Thrashers. You can, people get a little upset when you start talking about Atlanta fans in Winnipeg. Mark Scheifele is a guy, their first draft pick after they moved, who needs to take a huge step. There was a lot of pressure put on him because he was that first pick ever as a Jet, as a new Jet, whatever you want to call it. He needs to take a step forward. There's nothing scary here up front. It's decent, but it's a lot like Minnesota, only without the Zach Parise. Like, Little is fine, Perreault is fine, Ladd is fine, but you don't have anything here that really scares anybody. So Scheifele has to be the guy. And I don't think anybody assumes, after this long, that he's going to explode into a 40-goal, 90-point guy. It's unfair to expect that. Those people don't grow on trees. But that's what he's going to have to be to make them relevant in this division. To me, this is last place in the division. You know, all the way from a playoff spot, right? Let Michael Frolik walk. Doesn't sound like a huge loss, but took 20 goals with them. They're not loaded up front. They're going to miss those, right? So again, what does this team... They're pretty good on the back end. They're not good. Trouba is going to be... I don't know when. Probably not this year. But he's going to be a top pair guy, I think. I still think, as we move forward. Byfuglien, every year, takes him a little while to get it going, because he's a big boy, and that's what... Toby Enstrom, whatever. The defense is pretty good. But if they break down, if they make mistakes, it's going in their net. And, you know, last year before the playoffs, everybody was pretty pumped. Both goaltenders had a pretty good run. They were doing good things, right? It looked... It's a lot, to me, it's a lot like... Dubnyk in Minnesota. A little longer track record, but not one that really fills you with confidence. So, to me, Winnipeg will take a step back this year. I'm going to say last in this division, but this is a murderer's row division. So, they're not going to be a terrible team. They're not most divisions last place. Like last year, Colorado was last in this division. There was 9 teams behind them in the league. Right, so they weren't terrible. This team won't be terrible, but they'll be last in this division, I think. So that's it. 7 teams, the Central Division. We made it together. Courage, everybody. Well done. My co-host Joe Bowen, I'm sure he's excited. Holy Mackinac, all that sort of stuff. I've got St. Louis winning the division. Chicago second. I'm going to say Dallas is going to move up and be third. And then what else did I have going on here? That was a while ago, right? What did I say here? I was doing all right up to the end. And then I've lost my notes for my final rankings. The last page here has vanished. So let me just bullshit my way through it, and it'll probably contradict everything I've said earlier. It all made sense. Maybe I'll post a picture of it online. You can all see that at some point I was organized. I've got St. Louis first, Chicago second, let's call it Dallas third. Sure, why not? Colorado fourth. That would leave... We're gonna bump Dallas. Nashville's fourth. Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg. That's how we're seeing that. Yeah, I still can't find that paper, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said. Nashville, you know, they're going to be there. I don't think Winnipeg's going to be that good. I think Colorado's improved, but not enough to get by Dallas. So, yeah. And we'll see, because the Pacific is bad, so that may leave room for a Dallas to get in on the crossover, which is what happened last year, right? Winnipeg lost out in their division, but was able to cross over into the Pacific so that they could be smashed by Anaheim. That was not pretty to watch for anybody, but hey, at least they scored a goal at home or won a game. I don't remember what the fuck we were all supposed to be so excited about. My second favorite team and all. I think that probably happens again. So that probably leaves room for Dallas to get in on the crossover and likely get smashed by Anaheim, which seems to probably be what's going to happen for the next little while here, because I don't see the Pacific getting better that fast. This team, or this division, the Central, is better. They will probably, for the next year or two anyway, cross over and constantly be lining up against Anaheim, which doesn't look like a whole lot of fun. But I guess it's better than going home when Winnipeg does. That's Tall Can Sports. Hopefully, when we get together again to do the Metropolitan Division, the worst divisional name in all of sports. I guess it's a short list. There's not a lot of effort and time put into divisional name. It's stupid, though, the Metropolitan. Does Carolina seem Metropolitan to you? Is there anything about that? Anyway, Tall Can Sports, that's episode 22, the Central Division. We'll try and bring a co-host next time. Until then, see ya.
Empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.